If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
To the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. We're here to push you through that work week and get you to the weekend, at least to Wednesday, where you can hang out with us on the night shift. But more importantly, the weekend, to where you ain't got to deal with everyday life. Kyle's put together some Dwinde encounters, which I am stoked to get into. But you know the drill. Before we do that, we got to get through all of our business, take care of the housekeeping. So check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, and Reddit. Come join the Hollow Cult. Be part of the community. You know the drill. If you have a listener experience you'd like for us to share on our Thursday show, Kyle's got some information that was presented to him on a small crispy pancake from a possible Dwinde itself.
It's true. He was making some deals with me and he gave me some pretty important information. And that information is going to be that if you have a wild experience that you need us to portray to the world, we'll be more than happy to do that. But first, you have to write it out, shoot it over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. You could also record yourself via smartphone, send it to the same email. You can call or text the holophone, which is going to be 618-556-0837. You can send us cool shit or weird shit to Holosky Podcast, P.O. Box 145, Fieldon, Illinois, 62031. If that was too fast or you just were like me and you're not really trying to write that stuff down, all that information is going to be in the show notes for you to check out and get as needed.
As needed. If you'd like to support the show, plenty of ways to do it. First, we have a Patreon, and attention all of our Patreon members. Going to make an announcement here. I think we're going to shoot for April 1st. We are going to be revamping the Patreon. So the tiers now are going to fade out. Where if you are a member and your tier disappears, you are still a Patreon member, but you are just not a paying member, where you don't get any of the things advertised, none of the extra content, any of that. We were going to be going to a singular tier, I think, probably around the $7. And that gets you all the shows, ad-free content, any Patreon content we put out. But we're trying to consolidate it a little bit to kind of make it easier for us, because it's hard to follow and track, if we're being completely honest with you. Like, sending out stuff and trying to get people's addresses is just, it's a never-ending chase. So probably April 1st, the old ones are going to go away. I'll be making some announcement on socials and on Patreon. And then come April 1st, there'll be one singular $7 tier that you guys can, you have to go in and re-sign up for if you're still interested in being a Patreon or a patron. But just letting you know that. We have a website. You can go to the store, get some Holo merch, some stickers, some shirts, some hats, all sorts of goodies over there. Represent the Holo cult. Got a Venmo. You can throw some pocket change in if you're interested in that. Best thing you can do, share the show word of mouth. Share any episodes we drop. Share, just share, 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 share. The more people we get listening, the more chance me and Kyle have to create more content and keep it rolling. Another thing you can do is go to wherever you catch your podcast at, your podcatcher app, and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Helps us out tremendously in wading through the sea of paranormal podcasts out there. If I find it, I'll gladly shout you out. This 5-star rating and review for this week comes to us from our friend Mike3131. Mike says, awesome, 5 stars. Awesome show, great content, love it. Been a fan since hearing you guys on the Confessionals podcast. Keep up the great work, guys. Shout out, Mike. Thank you so much for sending in the love and the stars. Shout out to Tony and the Confessionals for putting us on, getting us over. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Love hearing the good words.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's always good to hear the feedback that we're kind of still trucking in the right direction, I should say.
I feel that. Well, we're just going to throw it to Kyle. He's got some, drop some Dwinde knowledge on us, and I am here for it.
I wouldn't say that it's very educating, because we are not of high intelligence. However, I do have some pretty weird encounters. One in particular is extremely bizarre.
I love it.
That I am excited for everybody to hear, because I really don't know what to make of it. It's awesome. Weird. So first things first, what's Dwinde? Because I would say a lot of people probably haven't heard or have heard the phrase before, but just they don't know what it is. Well, if you go to the old Googles and look it up, Dwinde is a humanoid figure with a lot of different variations. These beings are very similar to that of dwarves, gnomes, or leprechauns. So it seems like Dwinde is kind of like a all-in-one for these smaller, mischievous friends of ours.
I love it that this is coming hot off the trails of the pancake episode, the ultra-terrestrial pancakes. I'm digging it.
Yeah, that's that really wasn't intended either, honestly. Like, I don't even know why that I chose this episode. It just kind of popped up in my head for some reason, which is kind of weird.
The universe talking, because the next one I've been looking into, the one we'll probably drop next week or the week after, the Blue Man phenomenon also goes into that realm, which is weird.
It is strange. Weird. It seems like we're on this like Bay Trail ish.
That's
here of late.
What a weird trail to be on.
Do
I start leaving gifts for the Fae outside of my house to try to lure them in?
I'm saying yes.
If we're waiting for the weird. We're going to have to make it weird because the weird is not waiting for us.
Well, that realm is just so hard to like tap into, because if you try to look it up, there's a lot of like fan fiction type shit or D&D stuff. So it's hard to kind of sift through reality and fiction.
The Fae realm is so wild. I rewatched Josh Gates' Destination Truth episode from 2008,
which is awesome.
Icelandic elves. Not only do they mention that 54% of the Icelandic population believes in elves. More than half of people believe in elves, that they exist, then don't. But they also, the guy he's interviewing says that there's hundreds of encounters of people in Iceland that were invited in to elf homes to eat pancakes.
Thank God.
What?
It almost makes you want to do an episode on strictly Icelandic elf encounters.
Oh.
And or pancakes.
Yeah. Dude, so
either
weird.
One is satisfying, to say the least.
What an off the wall, out of pocket nugget of information that ties so much weird shit together. But anyway.
Yeah. Back to
Dwindey.
So the name Dwindey apparently originated as a contraction of the phrase Duende de casa, or master of the house, which is fucking weird.
It is weird.
It also could have been taken from another being from the Visigoth or Swabian culture, because it has very similar looks to the Tomt. I don't know if I said that right, but I tried. So we visualize these beings as, like, when I hear it, when I hear someone describe or talk about the Dwindey, my initial reaction, like the way my brain wants to visualize these things, is kind of like a gnome, essentially. And apparently that it is right and it's wrong at the same time, because they're apparently a wide variation of Dwindey. So I feel like Dwindey is kind of like it's kind of like saying human, essentially, because there's a lot of different variations of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we look different, we act different. That seems to be how these things are. The variations are crazy, because Steve just kind of pointed out the Icelandic elves, which are small, you know, beings. And the fact that these beings have been spoken about across time, across the planet, is another oddity that is harder to explain. The fact that all these different cultures have lore on these small little creatures that have similar attributes to them, whether it be their looks, the way they dress, how they act, is fascinating, because it like we've talked about it, it definitely, where there's smoke, there's fire. It's got to be. There's no way that cultures across the planet who, as you would think, haven't even spoken to each other, have the same encounters with these things.
Yeah, and a lot of people you see interviewed about Fae entities usually say the same statement, that whatever this race of entities is, has been here as long as humanity has, probably longer.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
It's crazy to think. It's just mind numbing to think that they have existed so thick in cold. Like you said, the Icelandic people, over half the people of the entire area are like, oh yeah, absolutely. They're real without question.
Yeah. More people believe than don't believe.
It's wild.
It's awesome.
So in the more southern hemisphere of the planet, here are a couple different variations. Utterly fascinating. However, I'm not good with different languages, so it's going to get a little tricky for me.
We'll go with it.
Yeah. The first one's Anhanas.
Nailed it.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. That was a hard one. These ones are described almost like the nymphs of ancient Greece. They're beautiful beings with long flowing hair that they comb for hours a day. And apparently they dress themselves in dresses made of, and I don't know if this is literal. I'm assuming not. I'm assuming that they create the things on their dresses, but it says that they're made up of stars or stardust and wear pearls. So I don't know. I'm assuming it's like a depiction of stars. However, they use stardust. So I don't, and maybe there's something else in the lore of stardust that I'm unaware of. There probably is. But these same beings, they typically have floral crowns and staffs.
Dude, that's so weird.
Yeah, and their size changes too. Most of the time, they're as tall as a flower. However, they have this ability to get as large as you and me.
Because since I went on this path trying to connect the phenomenon together, I've come across multiple instances of people who are in the midst of an alien abduction stating that whatever these alien entities are, have either staffs or like wizard. What do you call them? Wizard rods, wizard sticks. I can't think of the word. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Like a
multiple encounters of alien abductees stating that these things are carrying staffs or wizard sticks.
Wizard stuff.
I can't think of the damn name.
I like wizard sticks. Because I can't think of the name either, but wizard sticks is appropriate. Name, right?
Harry Potter. Wizard sticks. Our Harry Potter people out there are going to be like, you're an idiot. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
But that's so weird.
It escapes me too.
And on that note, not to keep cutting your grass here, but there are accounts of people who have encounters with whatever these beings are, be it fae, be it aliens, whatever, where they let the people know that they can change size. They said, I can change size. I can change time. All sorts of weird shit, bro.
I love how they just throw that one out. They're like, I can change time.
Yeah, we can
slow down time. They're like, I can change my size. I can change the color of my shoes. I can change time.
Which in alien abductions, what do we have?
Whatever. Yeah, missing time.
Hmm.
It is weird.
Hmm.
That's an eerie correlation. So it makes you wonder if the two are the same, or it's also not out of the realm of possibility that they both have the ability to manipulate time
very well could be.
You know, the fae realm might be more of a mystical, and the ET could just purely be tech.
Very well,
you know, could be. It's super interesting. And then it would make you wonder how many abductions are actually fae versus ET.
So many things, specifically in those two realms, cross over. Even little bitty facts, little bitty scenarios that one will have and the other will have that you wouldn't think. Like people don't report seeing Bigfoot run around with staffs and wizard sticks.
Yeah, no, but it's relatively the same.
Yeah,
when you hear Bigfoot encounters,
It's weird. Anyway,
it is weird.
My brain, dude, something about this Fey realm and the fact that we have both dove into it separately because we don't normally know what we are digging into. And now it's all coming together. It just makes my brain go on a tangent. And I'm sorry. Back to the Anne Hannes.
No, it is weird whenever, because like you said, we don't ever talk to each other about what we're writing about. It just happens. And apparently we are fixated on this Fey realm.
Or it's fixated on us. The
possibility of, I hope so.
Same.
Because we could use a little bit of weird in our life.
You are correct.
This next one, I don't have a lot of information on, but it's a Pardu. And apparently these are the Mountain Dwende. They're just, that's all it says. That's all I could find on. They're just basically mountain dwellers. Buscosos. These are taller and dress in moss and leaves. They play sad songs on their flutes to help guide shepherds through forests. Apparently these Dwende are very compassionate and hardworking. They will actually repair the barns and homes of humans that have had these dwellings collapse due to weather.
Dude, that's so cool.
Yeah, you hear of similar tales in Fey folklore where if you're kind to certain Fey, they will help you do things around the house, whether it be clean up. There's I guess like tree Fey, essentially, that if you're kind to the trees and the environment, they'll help you take care of those trees. So it's very similar in that aspect. Like I said, I feel like these two, the Dwende and the Fey and all, I feel like that's all connected. I don't see how it's not.
It is weird that like they're all the ones that you have mentioned, because I was looking up Anne Hannes while we were talking, and it said that they're said to live primarily in water, like fountains and springs and stuff.
Right.
It's almost like each one has a different almost element that it clings to.
Right. And with that point, which is a great point, and it sparked a thought in my head, look back at Native American lore, how you have water gods, tree gods. You know what I'm saying? Like they are spirits. I should say spirits. What if it's the same thing?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like the phenomenon. It's weird because in my Blue Man investigation, I tie it back to old gods. It's weird, bro.
Yeah.
And you hear like, where they said to live in water and springs and rivers and ponds, and it spends all its time taking care of its hair, brushing its hair. What's that sound like? Like a mermaid.
Mermaid
lore. The guys or the sailors would see him and they'd always be, you know, brushing their hair, taking care of their hair and shit. The flutes. We've had multiple people come to us about hearing flutes in the woods. Back to the Anne Hannes. Was it Appalachian Intelligence? When he was telling the story about the old lady in the pond, the woman in the pond, like luring people out there.
Yep.
Like, dude, so much shit just ties together. It is weird that they are like tied to specific elements.
Yeah. And I do think that lore of the past, probably like what they're experiencing are probably the same essential entities or beings that are being talked about in this culture and these sections of the world. Just that the way we describe is a little different, but that's humanity, right? Like you and me could see an object and we would both most likely use different descriptive words to explain to somebody what that is. So it makes perfect sense.
That is awesome that these Buscogos are out to like help us help people in need.
I think it's fantastic.
Circling back to how real people take this, the Icelandic road commissioner will purposely run highways around what they believe to be elf structure, elf rocks and stuff.
That's awesome.
We'll run the highway. Will not fuck with it.
That's awesome. And I actually have a case that will be presented later that is not the same thing, but it's kind of the same concept.
Awesome.
And it is fucked. It's actually, I just remembered it. It's another one. So there's two of them that are extra fucked. The next one is Dinos, D-I-A-N-O-S. These ones are interesting. They take on the figure of, which is, you could literally link this to other shit. They take on the figure of horses, cows, rams, and other domestic animals. They can apparently even take on the form of a human baby. Sometimes they will appear as a white donkey and it'll stand on the side of the road. If you mount this donkey and try to ride it, it will let you. However, as it keeps moving forward on its journey, it will keep picking up the pace until it is an unrealistic pace. And it's not trying to hurt you. I think it's just fucking with you. It makes it more or less a traumatizing ride. And then the asshole brings you right back where you started, lets you get off, and then it goes on its way.
That's weird that they take the form of babies.
Yeah. It's also reported, and in the culture, it's reported that these things, these particular ones might be responsible for weird noises, like in the woods and stuff, mysterious lights, or any other weird phenomenon that frightens those at night.
That's so weird. Good that now they could essentially be responsible for orb sightings, which tie into Bigfoot sightings and tie into UFO sightings.
How many accounts have we heard where you just see those little orbs, glass orbs moving through the woods and stuff?
Yep.
Tons of them. There's tons of them out there.
Back to them taking the shape of babies reminds me of changelings.
Right.
Where offspring of fairies or elves are substituted with a human infant. According to certain legends, the abducted human children are given to the devil or used to strengthen the fae stock. Some of them want to punish the parents for some reason. Others want a little pet or plaything. Some stories detail how certain fae groups find raising their own young more difficult than raising human babies, so they swap them.
It's fucking weird and terrifying.
Sucks.
It does suck. It's also interesting to note that they have the ability to change into animals, just like the skinwalker.
Yeah.
From native lore. And if the research is correct, that was a gift to the indigenous people from the gods to help protect them at first until it got perverted later on. So it's interesting. There's another one that is Enanos, E-N-A-N-O-S. These dwell in the forests. They guard the riches of the subterranean world. They will also tempt the greed of peasants by offering them bags of gold or silver that will eventually turn into dead fern leaves and white pebbles. But sometimes, if you are a good enough person, these beings will actually help you find your lost possessions.
The subterranean world.
Yeah, that's what it said. Very interesting. And it says guard the riches of the subterranean world.
Bro, I'm going to be so pissed. If I'm out in a cave and one of these things come and hand me a bag of gold, and when I get home, it's just dried leaves.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a sit down.
Yeah, we'll go back.
Conversation.
You're going to get a solid talking to.
Yeah. Strongly worded letter sent to the subterranean world.
Can't be messing with us like that.
These are so weird.
There's another one.
It's almost like a paranormal catch-all.
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of like that. There's another one called the Trentus, a small duende being either. And this one's fucking weird because I actually found a correlating encounter that I was actually talking to you, Steve, the other day whenever I was referencing Pan. However, you listen to this little fella, a small Duende being either made up or clothed in leaves, moss, roots, and twigs. They live in thick hedges and love playing pranks on people, namely pulling down the skirts of women and pinching their butt. But as you read more into it, it definitely feels like they are a part of the Fae lore without question. They also tie into things like native belief, like I touched on earlier. Because they're apparently Duende that, and I think this is what, even when I was writing this, made me reference native lore, because they're apparently even Duende that are in the shape of clouds and can make it rain or hail.
Yeah. I'm looking through like lists of Duende, and there's one, have the ability to make it rain, hail, or snow.
Yeah.
Bells of villages ringing in towns can conjure these Duende, essentially. Like, I'm assuming church bells, maybe?
Which is, like I said, it's just like all the ancient cultures praying to their god for rain, you know, praying for this, praying for that. It's the same thing.
Yeah. And we had the weird of the like assaulting women thing. We did that one on the weird, I forget what it is, the weird entities or whatever, where we talked about like Spring-Heeled Jack and stuff.
Yeah, I remember Spring-Heeled.
There was one of them that was would run around groping women and cutting their clothes and shit.
Yep.
So either this lore is evolving as it gets further closer to our time, or I mean, these things, whatever these things are, have the ability to change themselves. So it would be impossible to pin down what's happening.
Right, exactly.
So weird.
It's also interesting that, like, with a lot of different encounters, you have some that are helpful and some of them that are just pricks. You have one, for example, the Traskos. These little ones are the ones that like to steal or hide things in your homes. They also like to hide in trees and throw things like pebbles or sticks at you. Sometimes they even throw seeds at you. So it makes you wonder every once in a while, you know, when you're standing next to a tree or something like that, and you feel a little pepper from a seed or something out of nowhere, and you're like, where the fuck did that come from?
Makes you wonder if when you do an episode on forks going missing, not long after that, your forks go missing, and then one of you have a reoccurring issue with a bean dropping in your home, which is also essentially a seed.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. That is fucking weird. That is fucking weird. That is weird. That is fucked up. I didn't think about that. It's weird.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point, though.
I wonder how long this... we need to go back in the timelines and see when we were dealing with Harrison and his flutes and his, like, his shit getting messed with on his back porch and shit.
Oh, yeah.
To how... Maybe we were looking in the wrong direction this whole time.
Might have been. I wouldn't doubt it.
It would be part of the course.
We do hear a lot more negative shit, unfortunately, like in Portugal and Latin America, along with some of the American lore. These beings will attempt to lure your children into the woods. In other parts of the world, it seems that children are the ones who can easily see them, which is really bizarre because, like Steve and I had discussed the other day, there was a night, my daughter was sick, mind you, but my wife was telling me how she was having a conversation with the Tooth Fairy.
Which essentially
is
a fae.
Right. Fucking
what?
Crazy. So from here, we're going to get into these. Well, and then furthermore, on my daughter, what about the chicken monster?
Yeah, I was thinking that. I thought that's where you're going until I forgot that she was talking to the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
Which in her mind, she could have seen any sort of fey being. In her little brain, she's immediately going to link it to a Tooth Fairy.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the only 100%. Thing she has to, the only thing she has to compare it to.
100%. Absolutely. What? Without question. Without question.
This makes my brain hurt.
It's fascinating.
We're under fey attack right now.
Well, I don't know how I feel about that.
There's more evidence. There's more evidence for than against.
No. I'm saying I'm not going to doubt that we are or aren't. However, I don't know what road to choose in handling that.
I feel like you brought it on yourself collecting gnomes.
No, that's not real.
Yeah, but you gnomes did. You did have a strange fascination with gnomes prior to the show ever starting.
Oh, that's truth. Yeah, that's definitely true. I do like little lawn gnomes.
So,
but see, that's the thing. They should be nice to me because I respect them.
That's true. Maybe they're protecting us from the bad paranormal.
Coolest visual ever. Oh, that's all I got to say. There's a bunch of little badass lawn gnomes.
Yeah.
Fucking up shadow people. You're and right. Wendigos and stuff. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
100% good.
It is weird how all the phenomenon can be tied to things we experience.
It is strange. It's strange and it's not.
Yeah. I don't know that I like it.
I'm kind of impartial right now.
Yeah.
It's a ever evolving feeling. Yeah. It just kind of depends on what you're going through.
I get that. I just don't like the idea of little things like running around just taking stuff from my house, I guess.
Yeah.
Not even that they're taking it, but just that they're not letting us know that they're taking it. And that makes it makes me feel crazy.
Like some things I don't mind. Like if you need to borrow a rubber band, by all means, borrow a rubber band.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Don't borrow our kids.
That or car keys, stuff like that. But kids, yeah, most importantly, kids, do not do that.
Yeah.
So from there, we'll get into some experiences that I was able to find, some of the interesting ones. The first one is pretty wild. You have a woman that moved, and I almost feel like I've talked about this one before, but I'm not 100% sure. Regardless, here we go. You have a woman that moved down to Texas. She moved down there because her husband's family actually lived down there, and they were able to acquire some land next to the rest of the family. So they built a house down there and went down there to enjoy their life. One day she decides she's going to take the children and go for a walk. Now, as she gets outside, she sees an unfamiliar word carved into the mud. It says chinta, C-H-E-N-T-A. Anybody knows what that means, please let me know, because I looked it up and I was unable to find a meaning for it. In some languages, it seemed like it meant love, which in regards to the rest of this experience, I'm not sure that would be the right word. Anyways, it seems that, or no, sorry. As the kids and the mom walk down the road, one of the kids calls out, "Hey, mom, look at those little people up there." And the mom says she sees five tiny people, and they're roughly about 1.5 to 2 feet tall. These little people are walking around out on this path. She said they wore all white and had white hats. Then, out of nowhere, a 4 foot tall one walks out, and he's dressed in all black. And when he appeared, all of these little ones like formed a single file line and began to walk into the tall grass. From here, things get a little bit out of control. The woman began noticing weird things happening all around the house. She said food would fall over like in the refrigerator. It was almost like somebody purposely put it on the edge of the shelf in the door. Like it made it lean up against the door. So when she opened the door, it would come tumbling out. She would find tiny footprints on the tile floor that would just lead to the wall and then disappear.
Fuck that.
One day she found the sugar bowl had been dumped over, and she found all these tiny little hands, like they were sticking their hands in the sugar and dragging it across the sugar.
That's disgusting.
It's crazy.
Terrifying.
It gets worse because one day they wake up, or no, they also found shoes that were missing. However, it was only the left shoe that would ever be missing, which shows, I mean, it shows intent at that point, in my opinion. Yeah. Like you could chalk it up, like you guys just always misplace your shoes. Like you're just irresponsible. However, it always being the left one kind of makes you go, well, wait a minute.
Yeah. And
the worst of the bunch. Oh, go ahead.
It's just, it's like trickster stuff that they're doing. Setting the boxes to fall and
up until this next one.
And you hear in certain alien abduction cases that there is a higher, a hierarchy, a ranking, like you have your little, your little drones, and then you have a bigger, higher ranking.
That's true. Because you have the little grays that we're all used to, but they also say tall grays.
And they usually fall in line whenever these other ones show up.
Yep.
Hey, Holocult. If you've been around a minute, you've heard us talk about Mood, an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. Mood's found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you want. If you are new here, I'm talking about Mood.com. Mood has an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo HOLO. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplement that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. You need an extra boost of energy, some mental focus? Try the Morning Delta 9 gummies. If you're having trouble concentrating, you need some deep focused and enhance creativity, try the Mind Magic gummies. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. You can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood in usually as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our promo code, HOLO, when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com. And that's promo code, HOLO.
So fucking weird.
It is weird. The next one was by far the worst. They woke up one morning and found their dog dead.
Oh, that's not cool.
All around the dog were tiny bloody footprints.
No.
That led to the window and then disappeared.
Nope.
From that encounter on, they said, fuck this place. They sold it and they ended up moving. And they haven't had any more experiences.
Where was that at?
Beyond that, Texas. Didn't give an like a location in Texas, but it was in Texas.
That's weird.
Definitely weird. And it's like, think about how unprovoked that is too.
Yeah.
Like she did nothing to them other than witness them.
Yeah.
And then it escalated all the way to the point. So it almost makes me wonder if Chinta is, you know, maybe that's some type of derogatory word or almost like you're trespassing. Like you should fucking leave.
I found
because remember her house would have been the new house on the block. So maybe she encroached on their territory.
I found one translation, but I do not know the origin of the language. It almost looks Indian. Like mm-hmm. the closest thing I can come to is Tamil, but Chinta, according to this website, translates to trouble.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's a little more appropriate.
Which is weird. And that's the only one I can find that translates it to that. Which, I mean, in what context would a Fey entity in Texas use words that only translate to something from India?
Right. I don't know.
If that's right. Like I said, it's the internet. The only one I can find is I'm sitting here looking, but that I'm like that. It was almost like a warning.
Yeah. And like I said, that's appropriate.
Yeah.
And like I said, and it seems like these little duende slash whatever they are extremely territorial and they do not like you. Like you said, with the Icelandic road commissioner, he goes around their quote unquote structures for a reason. It's not for no reason.
Yeah. Spending thousands of dollars, probably tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars to go.
Yep.
To move your road instead of move some rocks.
Yep.
Just
for a reason.
Yeah. Wild. Wild.
The next one is fucking bizarre. So you have two brothers, and one night they are trying to go to sleep. The older brother is asleep in the bedroom. They share a bedroom. They're young boys. And the older brother is asleep. The younger brother is trying to go to sleep. Well, he starts to get paranoid that something's watching him. So he scans around the room just like anybody would. And as he looks over to the doorway, he notices a small 3-foot entity wearing what he describes as like a monk outfit, like the old school monk with the hood. And he's like, I could not see. He even notes almost like the beings from Star Wars that wear the cloaks, can't see their face at all. He said, you couldn't see the face because it casted a shadow. So you literally couldn't make anything out. But he says this being like literally just kind of walks by. And when it walks out of view, he starts to panic. So he goes over to his brother and he wakes his brother up. Says, hey, man, I just saw something walk in front of the door. And it had a cloak, a monk-style outfit on. Couldn't see its face. It's really bizarre. It's not supposed to be here. The older brother most likely was thinking he's having a nightmare, you know, whatever. So he's like, hey, just climb in bed with me. You know, we'll go back and we're going to go back to sleep. However, the being passes by the door and now both brothers can see it. So as they're both just watching it. And I guess from their bedroom, they could see into what I would assume would be like a dining room area, because they said this being walks over to the table where a little science kit had been left out and started. It had like a, was one of those science kits that came with like a light bulb, and you could wire it together, you know, and switch it on and off and what have you. They said the being walked over to it and started to examine it, and then began to turn the light on and off several times until essentially it got bored with this, and it walks around and stands behind one of the chairs. And when it was behind this chair, it was looking into the bedroom at the boys. They couldn't see it. Like, they couldn't visually see the eyes looking at them, but they were like, you could definitely feel its gaze. And as it's standing there, the way they describe it is it's pulling the chair ever so. It's either pulling the chair closer to it, or it's pulling itself closer to the chair. So it gets the chair all the way up against its chest, and he's as close as he can get to this chair, the being then climbs on top of the chair, like at the very top of the chair, the backrest of your kitchen chair. Believe it or not, and this is both witnessed by the boys, this thing turns into a pair of pants and drapes itself over the chair.
What the fuck?
Furthermore, to make it even more bizarre, the next morning, the boys got up and talked to their mom. And the mom admitted to every night she leaves a pair of pants draped over that chair for her father, for the father, the dad of these children, for when he goes to work the next day.
That's terrifying.
Explain that one. Because you could say the boys were fucked up by the pair of pants, right? However, you cannot explain the fact that this thing, they both visually saw it walk in front of the door, go play with the science experiment, and then turn itself into something that always gets laid onto that fucking chair.
Yeah. And it made itself like it's classic like mimic shit, which according to the lore they do. They change themselves into animals, they change their size, they change this, they change that. What's to say they can't change into inanimate objects? And yep. The fact that it was that in tune with the everyday lives of that family, that it knew that it could change itself into that pair of pants and no one in the family would question it.
Yep. And one of the older brother even got up after it turned itself into a pair of pants and walked over to investigate it. And it was just like a normal pair of pants.
Dude, bro is way, way more brave than I am.
For sure.
It is so strange.
I probably would have sat there and stared at it until I fell back asleep.
Yeah.
I was able to fall asleep.
Yeah, because, I mean, how easy would it be to write it off as a dream when you woke up the next day?
Yep. Oh, 100%. Yeah, easy. Especially if you fell back asleep.
So weird.
Yep. And it's like, I read a few accounts that were, you know, neither good or bad. You know, there were cases where people have been out in the woods walking and they'll notice a small person following them. In some cases, it's said that these beings will actually help you find your way if you were to get lost. But it seems like most people, even though they notice them, they never acknowledge their existence. They just kind of keep going about their routines. It does seem, though, that if you notice them, they may start popping more into your life for whatever reason.
Hmm.
Which can be unwanted depending on the particular being. I read a story where there was a couple and they were driving at night and they saw the wife was driving. They saw a small creature wearing a pointed hat cross the road right in front of them. The husband describes it as looking like menacing. He said its skin was like a dark brown or gray, and it had this monstrous face to it. Like, it was just really disturbing to see. The husband asked the wife, he was like, "All right, did you just see something cross the road?" Because he thought that she hadn't. Because as this all unfolds, as this being jumps across the road, she didn't hit the brakes. She didn't swerve. Nothing. It was like she was 100% prepared to run this thing over.
Can't say I blame her.
Yeah. So that's why he thought, okay, I must just be seeing things. I'm going to ask her. And she goes, yes. And he's like, so what exactly did you see? She said, I saw a little person wearing a wizard hat cross the street in front of us.
I don't even know. Like, you can't get that confused with anything else.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to write it off. Maybe it was a coyote with mange. No.
No.
100% was not.
No, not at all. Not even close.
It's so weird.
Dude, and both of these people in the car were college professors. And they will not reveal their written names because they were afraid that there would be some type of blowback on their career, which there probably would be.
For oh, honest. Yeah. 100%. That shit is so weird.
I read another one where a father told his child as he got older, he said, one day when you were a baby, you would always wake up crying in the middle of the night. Well, there was a older woman in the neighborhood, and apparently she was able to see or feel these paranormal accounts. And she was telling the father that a duende was in the neighborhood pestering children like the little shit he was. So the husband said the old lady offered to basically protect the child from it for free. And once they intervened, because the husband took part in that too, her husband. And once they did, the kid never had any issues at all from that point on.
That's awesome that this woman is such a badass.
Right.
She just calls him like she sees him. And B, I wonder what she did to deter the encounters, to like ward them off.
It was more of what her husband did, if I remember correctly. And I don't remember the exact word they used. So I'm not even gonna pretend that I know, but I know she was more of like the one that could feel it. And he was the one that was able to come up with, solutions to the problem, so to speak.
That is awesome.
I read another one where the duende was pestering people in a house. Like this, like the way it was described was almost like this little fucker was using a taser. This guy, he said he kept feeling these little zaps because he's over at his buddy's house hanging out on the couch, kept feeling these little zaps. And he kept bringing it to his friend's attention. Like, dude, what the fuck? Why do I keep getting zapped right now? The dude that owned the house was like, dude, just chill. It's not a big deal. And he's like, what the fuck you mean chill? So it keeps happening. And finally the guy like fucking finally freaks out. He loses his shit. And he's like, dude, chill. He usually only messes with me. What the fuck are you talking about? What are you on drugs right now? And he's like, dude, there's a duende in the house. He typically only messes with me. Chill the fuck out. My wife and child haven't said anything about it yet. So please stop giving this attention. I do not want it to move on to my wife or child, because then she's going to want to move and I can't fucking afford that right now.
What? Dude, and that's when we were talking earlier, I was looking through the list of duendes and there was one called Trinantes, which translates to thunderer. These duendes have the ability to make thunder and lightning.
Nice.
Which would be your shocker there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
But also, what else? What other entity has the ability to make thunder and lightning?
I mean, Thor.
Which is a...
It's a god. Yeah, it's weird, man. It's definitely weird. There's a lot of similarities there.
So
I actually have quite like at least three more stories, so I'm going to try to burn through them real quick. Two of them are short. There was another report where... Just like in our Bigfoot braid story, where Bigfoot was braiding the hair of horses, sometimes these duende will braid the hair of people. They'll wake up with braids in their hair.
That's...
Which kind of seems relatively weird. Appropriate. Yeah.
Which we did hear that a little bit when we were in our Bigfoot encounter. The duendes duendes were known to do this.
Right. You touch on, we talked about earlier about how they can mimic voices and stuff. One time this dude was going through a walk or going for a walk and he began to hear his name being called to him. So as they began to investigate, he realized the voice was coming from underground, underneath of him. So after he figures out where this voice is coming from, it changes from his name being called to an actual dialogue. The thing was like, hey, there's a cave opening just around the way. You should come in here. And he said at that point, he's like, fuck this. And he turned around and he ran back home.
Which is what I would say.
The same guy said that his uncle, who was a fucking hard ass, comes home one day in a panic, claiming a bunch of little people attacked him. He apparently shot at him a few times and it didn't do anything to any of them. They chased him all the way home until he got past his gate. Now, mind you, I did not say what type of gate it was, but I'd be interested to find out what it was made of. The little people did not go past this gate for whatever reason. When the person telling the story went out to investigate his uncle's claims, he saw a bunch of tiny footprints right outside the gate.
I hate that they leave footprints. But if you look into the Hellier Activity, look into the Hobsonville goblins, they're all said to came from caves or abandoned mines.
Yep.
They also left footprints.
Yep. Creepy. Well, apparently goblin also kind of fits into the description of the duende.
Yeah. Yep. I was just reading this. There is another species that have big heads and big hands, which, I mean, big heads sound like E.T. Greys.
Yeah.
So weird.
The last one I have here is a pretty wild account. You have, and this one is kind of reminiscent to the Icelandic road commissioner. So one day you have some children that were playing hide and seek. One of these, and they're playing out in the woods at their aunt's house, I believe. One kid decides, I guess there's a cavity in a tree, and he's like, oh, this is a perfect place to hide. So he climbs into this old tree. The elders of the area knew of the Duende. And before the kids went out to play hide and seek, they even warned the children, hey, when you're out in the woods, and if you come across an area that looks like the Duende lives there, say Tabby Tabby Ponono, meaning pardon or excuse me, little people. Little kid did what a little kid does and just completely ignores this, hides inside the tree for a rather long time. So long that everybody just gave up looking for him. They couldn't find him. Later on, he began to not feel very good. From this point, he was damn near in a coma for 3 days. They took him to a local hospital, and the hospital couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. Eventually, they took him to a witch doctor, and as soon as they brought him in, the doctor knew something was wrong. The witch doctor put an inch or two of water in a tub and lit a candle. She poured oil in the water as well. The witch doctor then pours the wax from the candle into the water and the oil mixture, and as she did this, it began to form a tree with the boy inside the tree. From here, 5 Duendes surrounded that tree and were throwing things at the boy. The witch doctor told the family to take a basket of fruit and say the words Tabby Tabby Ponono and all should be well. Once they did this, everything was fine. He recovered.
What does that mean again?
Excuse/pardon me, little people.
Dude, that's so weird.
Which is kind of the same thing as the road commissioner going around their area.
Yeah. You know,
what do you say? Like, what do you do when you say, excuse me? You usually go around.
Yeah. Bro, it's... I don't even know.
It's weird, dude. And what's weirder is that because I was thinking, and when if you look into Fey lore, you will hear accounts of people working with the Fey. They will specifically say they're working with it. Ironically enough, it almost sounds like, to a degree, people working with demons, essentially, because you have to be very careful and mindful of how you work with the Fey. But I was thinking, you don't really hear too many good encounters with the Fae. And that's weird or good encounters of the Duende, the Fae, whatever. You just really don't hear about it for whatever reason. And it makes me wonder if we hear of the negative ones because they are so unreal to that degree and traumatizing. And when things are traumatizing, we like to get things off our chest. We like to tell that story. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. I know exactly where you're going.
Furthermore, for the other side of that coin, if someone is working with the Fey and having good encounters, why would they share that message?
Bingo. Why take the risk of making them angry?
Right?
Like, why, when you have a infinite supply of buckwheat pancakes that will not go away unless you tell somebody about it, why would you tell somebody about it?
Yeah, which is a really great, I mean, that's I didn't think about that, but that's a fucking fantastic example. Fantastic example.
100% lines up.
Just nail on the head. I didn't even think about it at the time, but it's 100% nail on the head. It's exactly where my brain was going.
Yep, 100% lines up.
And I really do think that's why we don't hear more good encounters, because it's almost like there's an NDA between them and whoever's working with them. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep. As soon as you said that, it clicked in my brain. Yeah. I said, I know exactly where you're going with this.
Yeah, I forgot you had told me about that. I didn't even remember it when I wrote it. And I was just thinking, I'm like, man, because you don't hear about somebody that's like, yeah, I have the Fae cleaning up my fucking house or doing this, doing that. You don't hear about it at all.
Yeah.
So and I really weird. Do think there's something to it that And those are all good, positive encounters.
And they want to keep it. And I bet it is. I bet it is. They probably said, hey, or these packs are made to keep be kept under wraps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
I did find a little piece that I'll add here at the end, which I think is interesting, that it ties another realm into this whole plethora of whatever these duendes are. So the first to deal extensively with goblins is a person by the name of Fray Antonio de Fuentelopeña.
That's a hell of a name.
It was recorded in 1676 in the manuscript, the elucidated entity, unique new discourse that shows that there are invisible, irrational animals in nature. So this guy was delving into some of this weirdness, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was he by trade? A demonologist.
That's weird, but it fits. I mean, especially for the time.
It fits. And in the account, it's said that all the goblins disappeared with the bull of the Holy Crusade. I look up the bull, what a crusade bull is. A bull is an official document issued by the Pope. So what would these things want with something of that religious standing?
I don't know.
I don't know, even know if we'd be able to find a copy of whatever this thing is. If it's translation, I mean, shit, it's over 500 years old.
I mean, what the fuck is it? Is it like a damn declaration of war? Like, hey, asshole, you guys don't stop fucking around. We're coming after you.
I don't know.
Like,
it could be the bull of the
Holy Crusade. Tell me how that works. You write a letter to the goblins and they're like, all right, fuck it, we're out.
Unless it had nothing to do with the goblins that we know of. It's worded so weird on the wiki. It's said that all the goblins disappeared with the bull of the Holy Crusade, almost like they took it, right?
Yeah. Or it was used on them.
Or it was used against them. I'm not sure which way, which would in turn fall
in. It implies one of the two, though.
Yeah. Which both have very interesting and very different consequences.
Yeah.
Where whatever
when I think of the bowl of crusade, I don't think of a letter, though.
Yeah, that's why I looked it up, because I'm like, what the hell is a bowl of a crusade? And it is an official document signed and sent from the Pope, who is in Catholicism pretty much the dude below the Trinity, you know?
Like, right. Yeah. But if it was lost in translation and it was an actual bowl, well, there you're bartering at that point.
A bull, B-U-L-L.
Oh, I thought you were saying bowl, like a bowl you ate out of.
Bull, B-U-L-L of the Holy Crusade.
Gotcha. Okay. That's a little bit different then.
Yeah, which is, it's a term of the time that is a letter signed and sent from the Pope. It's strange.
Well, here's another fucking thought, since we're on the conjunction of all realities. If you think about it, what if that's not any different than the government making pacts with the aliens?
Bada bing.
Because that could essentially be the same fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll give you this.
Here is a written agreement.
We'll get, and go back to why we only hear about negative Duende Fey encounters. Why do we only hear about negative alien encounters? Because they probably are like, hey, world governments, we'll share this tech with you if you shut the fuck up.
Furthermore, here's another creepy thought.
We're hollow running related. Now. We're hollow running.
I got my brain's firing. So if you run with that and you look in today's world, when you think of aliens, what do you think of right out of the gate? Aliens and UFOs. You think of abductions.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a government agreement for it, yada, yada, yada. Well, ironically enough, the Fae / Duende / whatever the fuck you want to call it, they also abduct people. They just take children.
And sometimes full-grown people.
Right. But it's hot in Fae lore for the changeling situation. Like, that's a big stapling, you know.
Yeah.
That's where my brain first goes. So it's disgusting to think that there may have been ancient deals with the Pope.
Bro, if we want to go hella conspiratorial, what if there still are agreements with whatever these entities are with world governments? Then you get into missing people, human trafficking, child trafficking.
Oh, I could 100% believe that. There's a lot of fucking people that are never, ever, 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 ever found. Ever.
What if they are being used as like barter currency with whatever these things are?
Well, a few years ago, I may have said you're fucking crazy. However, in current times, I'm not going to say that. Not only from what we've learned and experienced, but like we were talking prior to this, it literally feels like the fabric of reality is unraveling as we speak. There's so much shit every day that blows your mind. They're like, this should not be real. Even though I believe in all this shit, this should not be real. One day I should have someone look at me and go, you're dumb. Here's what you're actually seeing and we can prove it. And then I go, damn, I've been dumb for all of these years. However, it's not turning out that way. It's 100% turning into the fact that, hey, Kyle, you're not dumb. You're actually right. And that in itself is mind explosion territory.
I don't know. The only thing, we do get called dumb in reviews sometimes.
Well, I mean, they're not necessarily wrong. However,
a different context.
Yeah. However, I mean, the government is coming out little by little and admitting things. More and more people are opening up about things.
So weird.
Fucking TV is creating documentaries on Skinwalker Ranch and shit like that.
It's so weird that the two, especially Fae lore and UFO lore, run so parallel with each other.
There's some tight parallels
in so many aspects. So fucking weird.
It is weird. And I honestly couldn't draw the dots.
We just cracked
why they run so similar.
Unless they're the same thing.
They could be. I don't like it for my brain, but I'm not going to argue that they might be.
It could be. It just seems like the same thing with people just experiencing it differently.
Could be. Now that's a little bit more down a curious avenue.
What if these fake creatures shape shift into fucking aliens and UFOs?
I don't know, man. I don't know. And then you hear more and more people saying that it's all one energy consciousness thing that is creating all of these different scenarios.
I heard a theory that humans are so like there's whatever the phenomena is, be it a million different entities or be it one singular source, their consciousness is separate from ours. So call it non-human consciousness. Whereas human consciousness is so different from theirs that we stand out like a light in the middle of nothing. Like, what is different about these creatures over here, which is what draws them to us?
I can see that. I could fuck with that. I could fuck with that.
Yeah.
And supposedly all of humanity's consciousness is connected. Somehow, some way, we are all on a quantum level. We are all essentially connected.
Did we just open a door into governmental trafficking, NDA, bartering human beings with aliens in the Fae?
I'm pretty sure we just crossed that line. I think it's definitely safe to say there's no coming back from that one.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where we go. This is welcome to Hollow Sky, everyone. If this is your first episode tuning in, this is what happens. This is what happens. We go from Fae Dwinde lore of elves washing their hair in the spring to government bartering systems with entities using human currency.
It's kind of how we do.
Happy Monday, everybody.
I think that about does it.
In my brain, this is not where I expected this to go.
Me either, but I had fun.
When we took off. Okay, yeah, that's it. Banger. Kyle bringing the fucking elemental heat on this one.
I love it whenever I write something and I'm like, it's going to be okay. And then we do it and it's way better than I even thought it was going to be. I love when that happens.
That was fucking awesome. We want to hear about it, Holocult, because... Yeah. Which one of these strings that all cross do we eliminate? How can we pull these apart? Because right now, everything's crisscrossing in places we don't want them to.
Facts.
So, yeah, check us out at all our socials. You know where they are. Listen to us for this regular show on Monday. Night Shift Recap Tuesdays. Hang out with us Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Central on YouTube. Live for the Night Shift. Thursdays, our listener encounters drop. Do us a favor and share this show everywhere. This specific episode. Share it away. We'll see what happens with it. And until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and when you are making barters with the Fae, make sure that the world governments don't have their hands in it as well.